You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is week six of the college football season, and it is the Friday edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten. My co-host, my man, is Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns. And for this first segment, as we are always on a Friday, are joined by Colin Wilson of Action Network. Guys, just an incredible weekend slate for college football this upcoming Saturday. Four top 25 matchups, and that doesn't even include the Red River Rivalry. And Patrick, as you are the host of Locked On Horns, ask away this first question if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, so we're going to dive right into it, Colin. Let's find out, who are you taking? Lincoln Riley, who is pretty much own Tom Herman, or does Tom Herman get his second win where the Longhorns wear the road whites in Dallas?
Yeah, you know, Tom Herman likes to be an underdog. He's not that big of an underdog here, but I mean, these are two teams. If one of them loses, I can't imagine an Oklahoma team, a world where I live, where Oklahoma's 0-3 in conference play, or a world where they're both 1-2 after this game. I mean, that's just unfathomable in this conference. The fact that Oklahoma or Texas might not make the Big 12 championship is still unfathomable. But here we are, and the reason is because of the product of the defenses. The defenses have been atrocious. Texas had their issues with Texas Tech, had to have an amazing comeback. Oklahoma looks like they're fielding statues. They just have not been able to do anything on the defensive side. But the one reason why Oklahoma is losing games is because the offensive line has not been able to protect Spencer Rattler whatsoever. When he has hands in his face and he has pressure, he has been absolutely terrible. So when you go and you look at Texas, they have just three sacks on the season. Three sacks against TCU, Texas Tech, UTEP. We're not talking about the greatest offensive lines in college football here. They have not been able to apply any pressure. And if you throw a Sy out, then they don't have anybody that has over two quarterback hurries. So, I mean, the defense has really, really been subpar, but they can't apply pressure. That's why I think Spencer Rattler has, you know, I think he has his best day that he's had all season, because he's not going to have that much pressure. And I know everybody says Chris Ash switched over to a 4-2-5, but if you look at the way that they've used their personnel, they've played a lot of 3-3-5 in their first couple of games, and that is something that OU just saw with Iowa State, so it's not going to be anything that Spencer Rattler hasn't seen before. You can make the case Spencer Rattler being a freshman seeing 3-3-5 gets a little bit confused. He's not going to be confused by anything in this, and he's going to have time, no pressure. I'm going to take Oklahoma in this game.
You saw last week what a dual-threat quarterback can do to that Texas defense and what Max Duggan did for TCU in that upset win. Spencer Rattler still seems like he's trying to figure out when it's best to take off and trust his feet, or when to hang in the pocket a little bit and try to make a play with his arm. We talked about these marquee matchups all weekend long. Four top 25 matchups, one that features a battle of two top 10 teams. It's the nightcap from the ACC, number one Clemson hosting number seven Miami. Colin, how do you see that game playing out?
Yeah, I think Miami deserves credit for what they've been able to do. They are not only just an explosive offense, but they've been able to sustain drives. They're moving the chains. They're getting first downs. Before that, when they played Louisville, I thought that they were just a passing down offense that has busted plays and De'Aaron King's making everything. But they've proven that they're actually a very complete offense. The problem is the Clemson front seven has just been ferocious. I know there's not a lot of big names. I know that everybody feels like experienced, but they have not allowed anything to anybody. Clemson's allowed just one rush of 20 yards this season. I'm talking, they haven't played in the second half against anybody, including their backup and their third string defense. They've allowed just one rush of 20 yards. I think De'Aaron passing downs is the key to Miami moving the ball, but it's going to have to be through the air, and that can get a little bit dangerous. Clemson is sixth in defensive rushing success rate. I think it's just going to be a long night for the Miami offense. Will they move the ball? Yes. Will they get points on the ball? Yes. But let's look at the other side of the ball. Trevor Lawrence is having his best season yet, hasn't thrown an interception yet. He has a 73% completion rate, which is 8% higher than his two-year career average. If you look at their offensive line, of the five starters that they roll out there, they've had 414 pass blocking snaps. They've given up one sack, maybe a handful of hurries, one sack, and 414 offensive lineman attempts at defending Trevor Lawrence. It's pretty remarkable what the offensive line is doing. And Miami's big thing is havoc and getting behind the line of scrimmage. That's just not happening a lot against this Miami offensive line. And even if you do get behind the line of scrimmage to Travis Etienne, he's doing things that this just shouldn't be allowed in college football. You're pulling off accent type stuff. So I'm going to roll with Clemson here. I think Miami's turned into a pretty trendy underdog, but the fact of the matter is whatever Miami does, Clemson just does it better. And now they're going to do it for four quarters.
Well, before we get into your lock of the week, I want to ask you about another Texas team going up against Florida. You got the battle of the Kyles. You know, Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts going up against a Texas A&M. Is 6.5 points good money right there? Should I lay that?
Yeah, and I was just thinking about Kyle Allen, you know, coming to play quarterback in the NFL. We got a lot of Kyles going on with it. I love Kyle Pitts. I just mentioned him. But I took Florida earlier in the week. I took them at -5. And I'm not budging off of that. I think Texas A&M is another one of those underdogs. Listen, it's fun to hit these underdogs, and it's fun for them to upset. But, I mean, favorites cover too, right? I think that's the biggest thing with people that gamble is that underdogs are so much fun. But favorites cover at a pretty decent amount also. And I think in this case, Florida is going to cover. Texas A&M just had a really poor defensive performance against Alabama, to be expected. But 9.9 yards per play, that's a lot. Texas A&M is now 68th in pass explosiveness on offense. Kellen Mond isn't getting anything down the field. And more importantly, they're 67th in finishing drives. So you may say, what is finishing drives? That's how many points are you scoring past the 40-yard line. And they're 67th. So if you've been keeping track, there's only been about 75 teams that have taken the field. So that's pretty bad. They're not scoring points. This includes a game against Vanderbilt. You can't say, well, they played Alabama. This includes a game against Vanderbilt. I think it's going to be a slow-paced game. Neither of these offenses are very fast. They rank outside the top 50 in seconds per play. But the key stat that everybody needs to know about is that Florida on offense with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts, they're second in the nation in finishing drives on offense. And Texas A&M's defense is 64th in finishing drives. So if Florida gets past the 40, you can expect a touchdown to go up, not a field goal. So, sadly enough, I think Texas A&M is not going to cover. I am taking Florida in this, and I'm not going to buy off of it all.
Kellen Mond didn't look terrible last week, but still didn't take that step you need him to see in what feels like it's his eighth year on campus there. So before we get to your Locked On Lock, I want to ask you a quick thing, because we would not be a college football podcast from a national perspective if we didn't talk about BYU within the first 10 minutes of the show. BYU this week takes on UTSA. They are a 34.5-point favorite in that game against UTSA. Do you think the Cougs can cover that line?
The number's huge. The number should be about 28.5. Another power rating I respect a lot has it about 30. So, yeah, 35 is a lot. But at the same time, BYU is doing things from an offensive efficiency they're not supposed to be able to do. Zach Wilson's been almost flawless throwing the ball. The ground game is grinding. The defense with Tonga there at nose tackles, just scooping and eating people up like crazy. And UTSA is primarily a rushing team, and they've gotten all of their big plays off of rushing explosiveness. Particularly that Texas State game is what everybody remembers. But the numbers are high. Consider for the pace of this game, it's not going to be that fast. The UTSA runs the ball, and BYU is one of the slowest. 35 is a pretty impossible number to cover. And don't forget that BYU has to play Houston next Friday. So is there overlook? I don't know. But that is their toughest hurdle to having an undefeated season. So do they want to run up the score on UTSA with the pace of this game? I'm not sure. I think 35 might be a little bit too much. You get two scores out of UTSA in this game, you're probably sitting pretty expecting BYU not to score 52.
All right, so we got it. Now we're going to the Locked On Lock of the Week. All right, Colin, it wasn't a good week last week, but we're gonna start it all over. New streak starts today. Where am I putting my money?
I'm going to go with Virginia Tech. I love Virginia Tech in the early spot against North Carolina. This is a team that was missing 23 players in their first week, 21 players last week. They are finally getting Hendon Hooker back, or quarterback, one of the most unsung and quietest quarterback, efficiency runs last year. I think PFF put out an article about how he was a more accurate passer than Joe Burrow. Like, then nobody else in the country was even close. Hendon Hooker's had to deal with some COVID. He's had to deal with some injuries. He did win the job preseason, and then he's kind of had some setbacks with his health. But that's okay, because Braxton Burmeister, Quincy Patterson, they've held on to the quarterback job just fine. And the defense hasn't even had their defensive coordinator calling plays. He's actually been sick with COVID himself. So this entire Virginia Tech squad has just been battling with COVID week in, week out. They're finally all healthy, coaching staff healthy, players healthy. And I haven't even mentioned that Khalil Herbert is a bona fide, legitimate Heisman contender. He's averaging 276 and a half all-purpose yards. That's kickoffs. That's receiving. That's rushing. Nobody is stopping this guy. And I'm telling you, I don't think North Carolina is going to stop him either. Sam Howell, believe it or not, he's not completed a pass over 20 yards. He's 0 for 8 on the season, passes that go over 20 yards. So something is going on there. We don't know if it's fatigue, injury. He should be in sync with his receivers, knows them. Something's going on there that we don't know about. I'm taking Virginia Tech in this one in an upset.
We mentioned that this is the start of a new streak. Do you want to end your time here on the Locked On College Football podcast yelling at Missouri for ruining your chances last week?
I'd like to more yell at Eli Drinkwitz because, Sean Robinson has proven in the advanced stats that he is the better quarterback. He's the more – he completed his passes in the first game of the season against Alabama. He was much better at the quarterback position. The bet last week was all based upon Sean Robinson because of how good he was at TCU, because of how good he was against Alabama. And then he just played the first two series. He had four – he was 1 for 4 in passing attempts, and he didn't play the rest of the game. So if Eli Drinkwitz would have let us know who his quarterback was, I'd have felt more comfortable with that bet. No one was, it should have been Sean Robinson based on the numbers that were provided, but it wasn't. It was Baselik, and it sounds like it's going to be that kid again. So Missouri is definitely a no touch for me. The defense seems to have given up. It seemed like the defense knew they had no shot on offense, and just both sides of the ball gave up last week. So Missouri is going to be a no touch team for me until Sean Robinson's there, until the defense starts producing.
On behalf of Action Network's Colin Wilson, the Locked On College Football Podcast Friday episode does not stand with Missouri any longer either. And you heard it right there. His Locked On lock getting back on the right side of things. Virginia Tech in a top 20 battle against North Carolina. The early game on Saturday should be a lot of fun to watch. Colin Wilson, as always, a pleasure to have you on this podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Patrick, Colin Wilson needs to break through a wall. That wall is getting back to being perfect with his Locked On locks here on the Locked On College Football Podcast. And I think he can do it. He can probably do it powered by Built Go, because Built Go gives you natural energy, not fake, natural and long-lasting energy to get through whatever you need to get through in your daily life, whether it's a lunchtime work meeting, whether it's a workout, whether it's podcasting, whether it's watching a full Saturday of college football, whatever that may be. Built Go provides that great tasting energy for you. And on top of that, it also gives you protein. If you were to think about these three delicious flavors, the peanut butter honey, the chocolate coconut, the chocolate mint, Patrick, what are you going with in these great new Built Go flavors that come in an ounce and a half package? It's so easy to take with you wherever you need to.
I'm going with the mint. I gotta go with the chocolate mint.
Yeah.
You know, that helps me, especially we're talking about, you got a Tuesday coming up.
Yeah.
The Maction is coming back, right? After a long day of work, I need to have that energy so I can stay up to watch some more football, because I can never get enough college football. On a Saturday, watching an 11 a.m. Red River rivalry game about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, I still got work to do, so I got to bust through that wall. So I'm going to reach for my Built Go, and I'm going to power through it and continue on enjoying my college football Saturday.
Even just saying Red River rivalry, you need the energy to get through that tongue twister, and both of us, because we have Built Go, hammering it, nailing it. And that is what you need for a Saturday of college football. It's collagen protein. It's fast absorbing. It's energy that comes in a natural form and keeps you going all day long. So visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED. And you'll get 30% off your next order. Ooh, 30%. Use the promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. So segment number two of your Friday show for the Locked On College Football Podcast, getting you set with everything you need to know for weekend number 6 of the CFB season. It is Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns, and it is myself, Big Ten Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten. We have a Big 12 guy and a Big 10 guy, but we now look at the SEC and see what is on the slate. We talked about that game between 4th-ranked Florida visiting 21st-ranked Texas A&M, but some other dandies in the SEC, including another top 15 tilt, number 14th-ranked Tennessee visiting UGA in Athens and the 3rd-ranked Dogs. Georgia, a 12.5-point favorite. The over-under, teeny-weeny, only 43 total points for that total spread. Patrick, how do you see that game going? You liking the Dogs, or you liking the other dogs that also are known as the Vols?
I'm going to go dogs. And when I say dogs, I mean the ones wearing red and black on Saturday. I'm not a believer in Tennessee yet. I mean, I like what they're doing. I like what Pruitt's doing. I like what he's doing there. But it's one of those things where I have to see it to believe it. And I know early on we were kind of down on Georgia after that performance in the first half against Arkansas. They've seemed to kind of fix out what their problems were. They're going with Zamir Wright, running the football, getting back to what they do best, run the football, throw off of that. I just don't think that Tennessee has enough firepower to keep up with Georgia in this game. So that's why I'm going with Georgia to cover.
I completely agree with your rationale of Georgia getting back to what they are doing best. Georgia is known for running the ball and having a great rushing attack on offense, playing off of that with their quarterback position, but also that defense. And it was stout throughout both of the first two games of this season, especially last week against Auburn, making Bo Nix look very confused at times. UGA, fifth in scoring defense nationally this year, third in opponents' points per play. Tennessee, also a pretty good scoring defense as well. 15th in the country, 18th in opponents' points per play. So this, I think, representative in that total number of only being 43. It should be more of a defensive slugfest in this game. We talked about Georgia, their ability to run the football, but they have found a very suitable quarterback, it seems, in Stetson Bennett. 240 yards through the air and a touchdown last week, an 85 grade from PFF. That was one of the highest of last weekend, week five of college football. And he looked good in the final three quarters of that game versus Auburn after a somewhat of a shaky start. But then he kind of found things together. I think Georgia pieces it together. But because of the nature of a low scoring, tighter contest, I don't think Georgia covers. They win and they probably even win by 10. But I think Tennessee will be able to cover that 12.5 point spread. Another great game in the SEC. Second ranked Bama visiting Ole Miss. The Tide, a 24-point favorite, the over under 69.5. Mac Jones has looked phenomenal this year. The second highest rated quarterback in the entire country, according to PFF, only behind Trevor Lawrence, even above Zach Wilson, who I claim is the best quarterback in all of college football. Patrick, how do you see the game between the Tide and the Rebels?
What is the record of former Saban assistants against Saban?
I don't know necessarily, but I think Kirby Smart's like the only one who's ever gotten him.
Exactly. Lane Kiffin ain't getting him. When you look at that Mac Jones, you look at Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Devontae, they got weapons all over that offense. And I'm not talking about the defense. But that offense is loaded. When I look at Ole Miss, I see a team that's going to be able to challenge that. I think it's going to be very similar to what happened last week with Texas A&M. There's just too much firepower on that opposite side of the ball. I know a lot of people didn't like Mac Jones, but, I mean, he's doing a fantastic job at the quarterback position. And when you can hand it off to Najee Harris, by all means.
Right.
Just get behind Alex Leatherwood and let him just open the holes for you, and you run through it. So when I look at this game, I don't see much of a fight against Alabama. They're not going to be challenged in this game, at least not yet. I think maybe later on in the season you could see that, but – early on this year, I just don't see anybody getting close. And once again, another Saban assistant going down at the hands of Nick Saban.
I think it's very intriguing to look at the 2 point totals we just talked about. 43 for the game between Tennessee and Georgia, 69.5 for the game between Alabama and Ole Miss. It just goes to show you the Alabama that you knew for the early part of the 2010s that relied on the ground game and the defense, and they would win games, even that famous one against LSU, 9-6. That's gone now. Mac Jones, with all the weapons he has at his disposal, they are scoring the ball. And because of that, I think it becomes somewhat of a shootout. Matt Corral on the other side for Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's got him running as well. 715 yards, 7 touchdowns in his 2 games so far this season. I think it's a shootout. And so because of that, the 24-point spread, a little bit too high for me. I think Bama wins and is in control of the game from the jump. But I think Ole Miss can add in a couple garbage time touchdowns to cover, maybe a little backdoor cover, if you will. I think Bama wins, Ole Miss covers. As we round out this second segment here, I want to hear from you. We heard Colin Wilson's take on the Red River Rivalry, but I want to hear your take about Texas and Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday. Big noon kickoff, OU a 2.5-point favorite, the over-under total, a whopping 72 points.
Well, I'm going to save my prediction for my lock of the week in the next segment. But as far as this game is concerned, there's a lot of questions right now. Oklahoma cannot start 0-3 in the conference. We've heard that time and time again. Tom Herman cannot lose this game to Oklahoma. The one big thing is Lincoln Riley has always beaten Tom Herman. I mean, he's lost to him one time since Tom Herman was named head coach there. And so you look at that. Tom Herman has to win this football game. I think there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a must-win for him. It's not as much for Oklahoma. My big problem is which defense can make a stop, because I think that's what it comes down to. Make a stop. Who can get off the field? Who can get the ball back to their offense? Because personally, when I look at these two teams, to me, they're the same. Good offense.
Right.
Bad defense. And so it's who can make enough plays. And the thing for Texas, I will say, is I think Texas has a shot in this game as long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot. Because as we've seen the last 2 weeks, the one thing that really kills Texas is Texas.
I want to ask you about Sam Ellinger, because he had a lot of hype coming into this season. First few weeks looked good. The Texas Tech game, he put up good numbers, but he didn't take advantage at times of a very bad Red Raider offense. Last week, PFF tells me 43% of his throws in the first three quarters of that game, uncatchable, not even within the vicinity of his receiver going up to make a play. What do you make of some of the struggles that Sam's been having this season for the Horns?
You know, when it comes to the struggles that he's having specifically against TCU, he had those same typical struggles against TCU last year. For whatever reason, Gary Patterson knows how to attack Sam Ellinger. And the one thing about it is he's got to find a way to minimize mistakes. He even admitted that he made too many mistakes last week. I think he needs to settle down a bit, because I think he's trying to rush things. He's putting too much pressure on himself. You know, get the ball in the hands of your playmakers and allow them to make plays for you. We saw a lot of drops in the last few weeks. So part of that is on the receivers. I think another thing is they haven't been able to get the run game going. And I think that's a big part of why they're seeing some struggles, because they know you can't run the football very well. I mean, they do at times. Keontae Ingram hasn't been as good as Roschon Johnson has, and we haven't really seen Bijan Robinson at all. So I think getting the run game would help him as well. I just feel like there's so much pressure on Sam, and while he can stand up in front of the media and say that he's not feeling any pressure, we see it on the field. I can tell that you're pressing.
But for the Red River rivalry, I see it pretty simply. Oklahoma cannot lose three straight games. I will not be a fan of college football and love the game as much in a world where Oklahoma loses three straight games. I don't see it happening. I think they win. I think they cover. And I also, because I'm feeling frisky, I'm double dipping. I'm taking the over of the 72-point spread. I think it's a shootout. I think it's 48-40. Oklahoma wins. That is my prediction for the Red River rivalry that I like saying in that voice. Coming up still, a few more Big 12 games to touch on, a few more ACC games to talk about as well, and then both Patrick and my Locked On Lock of the Week. That's all coming up next. So the final segment of your Friday edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast as you get ready for a great weekend of college football. Four top 25 matchups. We talked about a few of them early on. We ended the last segment with the Red River rivalry, a game between Oklahoma and Texas. Let's stick in the Big 12. Iowa State, who just upset Oklahoma last week, the 24th-ranked Cyclones, now host Texas Tech. Do you see a come down at all for Matt Campbell and company after the big win over OU last week?
No, I don't. And the reason why is Brock Purdy played a lot better in that game. Obviously, Breece Hall has been running wild. Oof. You saw what he did against Oklahoma. He did it the week before against TCU, and I think it continues. Texas Tech is going to struggle. They struggled last week with Kansas State, not running the football. Deuce Vaughn has been absolutely lights out. He reminds me of Darren Sproles. Maybe it's the fact that he's wearing the purple, but you know, he reminds me a lot of that player. Smaller guy in stature, but he plays a lot bigger than he is. So when I look at that game, and the big question is Alan Bowman's health.
Right,
he went down early on in that game. Henry Columbia, who transferred over from Utah State, familiar with Matt Wells. He did well, but, you know, in the end wasn't enough. And that's kind of the way I look at it. In the end of the game, can they make enough plays against the Iowa State offense to give themselves a chance late on? I don't. That's why I'm going to take Iowa State plus 12 in this game.
Yeah, minus 12. Yeah, Iowa State, a 12-point favorite, the over-under total 64.5. I'm taking Iowa State as well. I don't think there's going to be a letdown, and the main reason is because Breece Hall. Breece Hall has been just going off through the first three games of this season. 28 carries, 139 yards, and two touchdowns versus the Sooners last week. And Texas Tech's defense has struggled all year long. 60th out of 74 FBS teams that have played so far and run defenses here, giving up over 206 yards a game. I think Breece Hall has another day, pads the stats, and Brock Purdy does what he needs to do. Iowa State wins and Iowa State covers. One more game in the Big 12 to touch on. Another upset from last week. TCU, who beat Texas, now hosts Kansas State. Only three games in the Big 12 total, but what do you make of the Horned Frogs and the Wildcats? It is Wildcats, right?
Kansas State Wildcats.
Yeah, that was well.
Again, it's another one of those teams that last week, Texas Tech versus Kansas State was the battle of the backup quarterbacks. Do I believe in Kansas State's quarterback if Skylar Thompson can't go? No, I don't. I mean, obviously, he played against a very poor defense. What did you say, 60th? In run defense against Texas Tech. I believe TCU played a lot better against Texas. I think this is going to tell a lot of people about Texas, because if Kansas State can run the football against TCU, that's going to speak volumes about Texas' inability to run with that talented set of running backs. But when I look at this game, Max Duggan, for the last game and the last half, he's playing lights out right now. So really, I'm going to ride the hot hand here. And I'm going to go with TCU in this game in an upset.
Listen, you talk about TCU's leading rusher. That's Max Duggan. He is the man. He is now from Lewis Central, Council Bluffs, Iowa. I've mentioned I covered him. I love him. I think he's fantastic. And what he has solidified at that quarterback position for Gary Patterson, now that he's back healthy, he had a heart scare, had surgery in the offseason. He's back. He's running well. Two touchdowns on the ground, 79 yards against Texas last week. Also was 20 of 30 for 281. Through the air as well. Max Duggan is doing things well for the Horned Frogs. An 8.5-point favorite is TCU. Over under 50, I'm still taking TCU to win and to cover in that game against Kansas State, the Wildcats of Kansas State. One more ACC game to touch on briefly before we get to our Locked On Locks. I say briefly because I don't think there needs to be a whole lot of rationale or explanation. Florida State visits fifth-ranked Notre Dame. Notre Dame hasn't played now in 2 weeks. This will be the third weekend after not playing. But the Fighting Irish, a 20.5-point favorite against the Seminoles, the over-under 52. I mean, Florida State just sucks. They flat out stink. I mean, Notre Dame's got to win and cover, right?
Book it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Ian Book. That's what I meant. Ian Book. So Ian Book against that defense that struggled against who? Jacksonville State.
Yeah, State had a lead at the half, man.
Yeah. I remember watching the first half of that game, and I was getting text messages from my Seminole friends melting down. So, give me the Irish in this game. I think they cover.
Florida State will be starting their third quarterback already of the season. Jordan Travis now under center for the Seminoles. Give me Notre Dame. They cover. I mean, they haven't played in two weekends, but when they did play, they looked very solid. They looked fine-tuned. Kyron Hill, he's back. He's going to be looking good as well. So, Notre Dame covers and beats Florida State. So let's get to our Locked On Locks. I want to end the show as we started it, talking about the Red River rivalry, and that is your Locked On Lock. So let me do my Locked On Lock first. It's a game we touched on in the SEC slate with Colin Wilson. Fourth-ranked Florida visiting 21st-ranked Texas A&M. You talk about the Kyles. You mentioned the Kyles. Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is on pace to join the record books for what tight end production could be in a college football season. He's ran 10 routes outside, lined up outside, and he's ran 10 routes. He has four catches on five targets when he lines up out there for 61 yards and two touchdowns. In four catches, he has two touchdowns and 61 yards. The other two of the four were also for first downs. So what he is doing and what he allows that Florida offense that ranks fifth in scoring offense, second in yards per play in the entire country, they are humming on all cylinders. Texas A&M, not so much. We talked about the struggles of Kellen Mond being able to disperse the ball, find some consistent playmakers on the outside, 57th in scoring offense. So my Locked On Lock, I am 0-4 in my Locked On Locks. However, last week, 6-3 straight up, 7-2 against the spread, an improvement, but I'm 0-4 in my Locked On Locks, bucking that trend this week. Give me Florida to cover the 6.5-point spread. Make it, book it, give me all of it. Florida covers a 6.5-point spread. That is my Locked On Lock.
Yeah, Aggie loses big in this one. That's what I'm going to say. It's not my lock of the week. My lock of the week involves that Red River rivalry, and I'm not picking a winner as my lock of the week, although I do have Oklahoma in an upset in this game. I'm saying lock it down, going over 72.5.
You agree with me?
I think this is another 48-45 game. I think it's very similar to 2018. I don't believe in either defense. I believe that both offenses can get up and down the field, as we've seen year or week in and week out. My big question is, can Oklahoma finish this week? Because the last 2 weeks, they have held leads late in the game and went on to lose. So can they finish? That's my big question. But given that the Texas defense has had their own trouble with stopping people towards the end of games, I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I hate to say it, but I think the Sooners win this one.
The host of Locked On Longhorns picking against Texas, taking Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. A few stats to back you up when we talk about poor defenses. Texas, 44th out of 74 teams in scoring defense. Oklahoma, even worse, 63rd out of 74 teams. It's going to be a shootout. For a while, they called it the Red River Shootout. Now it's the Red River Showdown, or the Red River Rivalry, as I like to say.
I don't think anybody knows what it is. It's, I mean, Texas OU. That's what it is.
Here's what we'll say it is. It's going to be a lot of points on Saturday, the big noon kickoff on Fox. For Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns, I am Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten. We are both the host of your Friday edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast, getting you set for week 6 of the college football slate. Patrick, a fun time as always, my man.
All right, we'll talk again on Friday.
And on Monday, it is our girl Candace Cooper getting everything you need to know. Recap, review of week 6 of the college football season. So, once again, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your favorite sport, which is college football, every single day.